And you're very welcome. I've got Nikki Johnson here helping me this morning. It's lovely to be with you on this seventh Sunday after Trinity. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And also with you. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We have come together in the name of Christ to offer our praise and thanksgiving, to hear and receive God's holy word, to pray for the needs of the world, and to seek the forgiveness of our sins, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we may give ourselves to the service of God. The grace of God has dawned upon the world through our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who sacrificed himself for us to purify a people as his own. Let us confess our sins. You raised the dead to life in the Spirit. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
You bring pardon and peace to the broken in heart. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Good morning.
You make one by your Spirit the torn and divided.
Right.
Lord, have mercy. Yes.
Lord, have mercy.
Is that
okay?
Yes.
May the God of love and power forgive us and free us from our sins, heal and strengthen us by his Spirit, and raise us to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. Blessed is the Lord, for he has heard the voice of our prayer. Therefore shall our hearts dance for joy, and in our song we will praise our God.
The first reading comes from St. Paul's letter to the Colossians. Living as those made alive in Christ. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to our earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And our psalm this morning is Psalm 107, verses 1 to 9, and then verse 43. Please do join in with me in the words in bold. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is gracious, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this: those he redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some went astray in desert wastes and found no path to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul was fainting within them. So they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He set their feet on the right way till they came to a city to dwell in. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and the wonders he does for his children. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry with good. Whoever is wise will ponder these things and consider the loving kindness of the Lord. O living Christ, rescue us from foolish passion and still the storms of our self-will. And as you are the anchor in this life, so bring us to the haven you have prepared for us, for your mercy's sake. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
Our second reading is taken from St. Luke's Gospel, the parable of the rich fool. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Did you see the news on Wednesday night? A family in rural California was shown returning to the still smoking ruin that had once been their home, utterly destroyed by a forest fire. They were almost speechless as they picked through what little was left of their uninsured home. One of them identified the pile of ash where his office had once been, some broken glass, some twisted metal, otherwise nothing but ash. Documents, furniture, mementos, photographs, all gone. But what moved the family most was the small body of their cat, which they lovingly buried with as much dignity as they could muster and as much care as for a loved child. There, in front of the cameras, they shared with us the moment when they buried their treasure. Someone asked Jesus to intervene in a family row over money. Jesus declined and instead told a parable about a rich man who constantly sought to build up his wealth with the aim of living a good, long retirement. But he didn't live long enough for this to happen. So what was the point? What was the point of accumulating more and more stuff, more and more treasure? What is the treasure we store up? Like the man in the crowd who spoke to Jesus, it might be the abundance of our possessions. Or like the farmer in the parable, it might be a barn full of grain and goods. But then again, the things we truly treasure might be more subtle, less obvious than that. Our treasure might not be the things money can buy. The things we truly treasure might not be things at all. They might be the things we missed during lockdown, or the things we found we really appreciated, like the freedom to enjoy fresh air and exercise and rediscover their importance to our physical and mental health. They might be time spent with family and friends, time to watch the young grow up, time to sit quietly with the old. Might be the opportunity to read or write, to paint or draw, to cook, or blow the cobwebs off that long-ignored musical instrument, or anything else that feeds our creative side, our imagination, our soul. It might even, for some, be gardening. And within all that, time to rediscover the place of faith in our lives, time to read the Bible, time to pray, time to reflect. I guess most of us here this morning might want to say that one of the things we treasure most is our Christian faith, our faith in Jesus that comforts us when we're sad, lifts us when we are down, gives us cause to celebrate when we are happy, directs our gratitude when we are thankful, restores our hope when we are inclined to give up, promises us a future worth looking forward to, gives a sense of purpose to this life, which might otherwise feel at times almost meaningless. All these things are great, and we are so thankful for them. But my fear is that any of these things we hold dear might so easily become buried treasure, stored up for ourselves like the grain and goods in the farmer's barn. That would be sad, but not unusual. Most of us find it difficult to share our faith with others, and in this you are not alone. It's as true for me as it is for you. It's not that we have nothing to share or that we are unwilling. It might possibly be that we are just too busy, a common excuse, but it's much more likely that we simply don't know how to. We've not got the language. Perhaps we have never stopped to ask ourselves, what do I get out of my faith in Jesus? Or how does believing in Jesus make my life better, happier, and more fulfilled? Listing some bullet points to answer these questions might be a really good place to start. It might encourage us to put into words something we've always known but never expressed. Perhaps jotting down on the back of an envelope what believing in Jesus means for us could be the start to knowing how to communicate to others what we have always known but struggled to say out loud, even to ourselves. We've reached that stage post-pandemic when things are more or less getting back to normal. We have in the X Valley our first Church Wardens Council meeting next week, when for the first time in ages, we won't just be reacting to the latest crisis or government guidance. We will be looking to the future, making decisions about what we are going to do. Please pray for us for wisdom, discernment, and above all, unity. So, what are we going to do? I'm sure the people of St. Peter's are asking the same question, and it's a good question, and I've given it a great deal of thought. I'm inclined to think that if someone in the crowd were to ask Jesus, "Teacher, what are we going to do?" he would most likely start by telling them a story, and then, in all probability, he would ask a question, something like this. So what is the treasure you value most? And what will you do to share what you have with those who have nothing? Have a fundraising campaign? Carry on as usual and make sure nothing changes? Or will we speak of God's love and our love for God, and much more importantly, God's love for us? So what are we going to do? Well, I think it is time to work out what is the treasure we have been given, and then unbury this treasure and celebrate God's indescribable gift, and then work out how we can give it away. Are you with me? Amen.
Now we come to our time of prayer. Lord our God, your abundance, your love, your provision, your blessing amazes us day by day. With such knowledge, we bring our prayers for others in need this day. We pray for those in need of food on the table when the cupboard is bare or when the crops have failed. No one should go hungry, and yet they do. Help us to do all we can to help feed the hungry. God of abundance, hear our prayer. For those who are hungry for love, hungry for care, hungry for compassion, hungry for purpose, may they find what they need and what they seek from the abundance of your richness to the world. God of abundance, hear our prayer. For those who don't seek abundance, but simply seek for a shelter to surround them, a roof to protect them, a place to call home, a place to belong, a place to be the best they can be. God of abundance, hear our prayer. For the fearful and the frightened, the bewildered and bemused as the pace of life overtakes them, for those who feel they no longer belong where they used to, they no longer understand what they used to. God of abundance, hear our prayer. For the NHS and social care and social workers who strive to see people as a whole and to meet their needs when all around them there are pressures and cutbacks and shortages and complaints. God of abundance, hear our prayer. For governments across the world as they readjust to life's changing needs and demands, may they have open eyes to see the real needs, open ears to hear the cries of the needy, open hands to reach out in compassion and open minds to change their ways when needed. God of abundance, hear our prayer. For those participating and organising the Commonwealth Games, that they may be a games of friendship, hospitality and fairness, that all who share may feel respected and appreciated, safe and secure. God of abundance, hear our prayer. For those known to us who need our prayers today, and we pray for Jacques, Jen, Alan, Aileen, Rosemary, Ali, Brenda, Kathy, Olivia, Gerald, Cynthia, Rod, Pippa, Joe, Dave, Jackie, Mary, Herbert, Helen, Francis, John, and Elaine. We bring their names and we offer them to God. God of abundance, hear our prayer. For ourselves, that we may live fruitful, helpful lives, treating others with respect and dignity, fairness and worth, that we loved as we are loved and as Jesus commanded. God of abundance, hear our prayer. Amen. I should say the collect now. Lord of all power and might, the author and giver of all good things, graft in our hearts the love of your name, increase in us true religion, nourish us with all goodness, and of your great mercy, keep us in the same. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The love of the Lord Jesus draw us to himself. The power of the Lord Jesus strengthen us in his service. The joy of the Lord Jesus fill our hearts. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us and those whom we love and pray for today and always. Amen. Thank you so much for being with us this morning. Thank you, Nikki, for helping. Lots of love to you all. Have a blessed week and see you next week. Thank you, Nikki. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Bye. Lovely service. Bye. Thank you. Bye. Have a good week.
Have a good week.
Bye-bye.